The Word of God this morning, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'd like to hear those pages turning and Bibles open. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Brother Mike, good to see you this morning. God bless you, brother. Happy New Year. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17. Very familiar verse of Scripture. Most of us know this by memory. In fact, I'm going to ask that we read it out loud together as a church family. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. When you're there, give me a good Baptist amen.
Amen.
Let's begin reading out loud from our King James Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Begin. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He is a new creature. When he gets saved and gets in Christ, and Christ gets in him, old things are passed away. All things are become new. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. While you're finding Genesis 1, which shouldn't take long, it's the first book of the Bible, I want to read a little verse out of Galatians. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Being saved and getting changed, that's what matters, is the point there. And it comes from Christ. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Father, we ask that you'll bless the preaching as we talk about being a new creature in Christ. Amen. This morning you may be seated. I want to talk to you on the subject of the new creature. A new creature. A new creature. 2 Corinthians tells us that if you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And that is something that it's so important that we emphasize that when you get saved, there ought to be a change in your life. Amen. In the book of Genesis, I want to take this as I read through some of the first chapter of Genesis. Please stay in Genesis chapter 1. And my goal this morning is to show you how Genesis 1 typifies or can be symbolized and spiritualized to show how God changes us in creation physically and in creation spiritually. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. How many of y'all still believe that?
Amen.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So in verse 1, we see that God is the creator. You are not here by the evolution of time. Time is not God. Evolution is not God. God is God.
Yeah.
He told us in the Bible that there is no other God. God said, I look to my left in the book of Isaiah. I look to my right, praise God. I look up and I look down. He said, I didn't see anybody else. It's just me. I'm the only God. He said, beside me, there is none else. That's why in the Bible he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because there is no other God. The only God is God Almighty, the God that we have revealed in the Bible, that God, all those thousands of years ago, in His infinite wisdom, God the Father and God the Son and God the blessed Holy Spirit, reached down into the earth and made man. And He reached into man's side a little while later and pulled out a rib. And He made a woman. That is the God of the Bible. He is the Creator God, and it is that God to whom we must give an account of our lives. It is that God that sent forth His Son, Jesus, to die on the ribbon cross. Thank God we have a God, and thank God it's the God of the Bible.
Amen.
He is the Creator. Verse 2, what did He do? Well, the Bible says He made an earth. We don't know when it was. We don't have that information. We just know that He did. And it says in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You know, when the Bible says that the earth was without form, it lacked form. It was formless. It was just water. There was no trees. There was no birds. The sun hadn't even been made yet. There were no stars that were made. It was just a ball of water. And there was no form, and it was void. The void means it had no fullness to it. There was no enrichment upon the earth that we see today. It was just a vast canopy of water. It was just darkness all over the face of the deep. And you know, I got to thinking, Brother Kevin, that is exactly the condition of man. Amen. Oh, my friend, if you are lost without Christ, this is exactly the condition of your soul. You and I, when we were lost and without Christ, we had no form. We had no fullness in our body, in our conscience, was darkness only continually. You and I lacked form. We didn't know what was right, and we didn't know what was wrong. We didn't know the way to be saved. We didn't have that doctrine. We didn't have the mountain peak of the gospel. We didn't have any form whatsoever. We were just bland and dull and boring in the sight of God. In reference to God, we had nothing to offer in that respect. We had no form. We had no fullness. There was no joy. The birds were not singing. The sun was not shining. It was darkness upon the face of the deep. But thanks be unto God, He didn't leave the earth in that condition, amen. He didn't just leave you lost. God could have said, you know what? I made this world. And it's dark and form, without form and it's void. You know what? I was just going to retire and take an extended vacation, an endless extended vacation, the time limit set, not yet determined, and go play golf somewhere off, hit stars. And maybe that's golf ball, shooting across those shooting stars. And God hitting on extended vacation. No, that's not what God did. There's a theory that between verse 1 and 2 is a gap. There is a time gap. Now there's possibility of that. And there are those of me that I'm just, well, I'll hear it and I'll accept it, but I'm not sure that I'm on board all the way with it. But it goes like this, that we don't know when, but God created the heaven and the earth. Doesn't tell us the time. Then there was a gap. When God created the heaven and the earth, something happened that caused the earth to become void and without form and dark. And the theology comes from other verses out of the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, or some others, that there was a judgment that had come upon the earth. Maybe that's what happened with the fallen angels. And it caused the earth to be overflooded in water that you see here. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's just a theory. That's an interpretation. Does it matter? No. It has nothing to do with your salvation. But let's just play with it for a minute. That's exactly the case of the human heart. Without form, without void, and darkness. God could have left it like that. He does not have to save us. But the Bible says, look at it in verse 2. It is so important that you see this. Look at it. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Friend, you don't know. You've got lost loved ones and you've got friends that you're praying for. And you're saying, God, work on them. God, help them to see that they're lost and they're before. Father, help them to see that they're undone and they're spiritually bankrupt towards Lord. Help them and work on them. And you and I think, God, are you even doing anything? My friends, thank God the Spirit moves upon the face of the waters. God is working. You and I don't always see. I got to thinking about that just now while I was preaching. You and I don't see how God's working on somebody. You don't know the brother that needs to hear the message this morning. And you don't know the sister that needs to hear the thank God, the Spirit of God, He moves upon the face of the waters of our heart. No matter how void, and no matter how dark, and no matter how formless we are, God will not give up on us. Preacher, I'm so wicked and I'm so sinful and I'm so just dark. There's just darkness in my heart. Well, wonderful! Because God's Spirit is at work in your soul. God doesn't have to, but here He is. Working and moving. Stirring. Getting you interested. Oh, my friend, is God talking to you this morning? Is the Holy Spirit moving on your heart? Oh, friend, God ain't giving up on you. Friend, if you're listening to this recordedly, on a recording, is the Spirit of God moving upon you? So we see God as Creator. We see the condition of man. Notice another step. And God said, what? Let there be light. Amen. Somebody say that to your neighbor right now. Say, let there be light. Real loud. Help me preach this morning. And there was light. Remember it said it was formless. It had no fullness. And there was darkness only everywhere. Continually. But the Spirit of God was at work. The Spirit of God was moving in His turret in mysterious ways. Working on that heart, working on that mind. And then when God said so, He said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe this book. You go to the light switch, you knucklehead. You go to that light switch and bam, you have light. How hard is it if we can create light that God can't create a light? Somebody say amen. And God said, let there be light. And boom, just like that, lickety split, there was light. That's exactly what God does in the soul of a depraved woman or man, lost and without hope towards God, has no hope of salvation, is in complete and utter inexplicable darkness. God works on that heart. Amen, Brother Randy. And He stirs that heart. And He moves upon that heart. And when God sees the time is right, He says, let there be light. And He shows the gospel of Jesus to that sinner so they can be saved. Thank God we were going through so much darkness and wickedness for all of these 4,000 years before December 25th. There was darkness and there was misery. And every once in a while we'd see a little flare of light here and there. But not so when Jesus was born. Boom! He said when He was brought into the world, I am the light of the world. God was saying, let there be light. And there was light. And that's what happens when you and I got saved. God was working on our hearts. He was stirring our hearts. He was saying, you are lost. You are a sinner. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is only judgment continually abiding upon you. You have an inevitable meeting with God. In fear and terror and dread was upon our souls until God said, let's turn on the light. Right. And Jesus was introduced in your conscience. You heard a Bible sermon for the first time that Jesus can save you and He's the Savior of the world, and the light came on. Maybe the first time you were talking to somebody and they gave you the gospel message about Jesus and salvation, and all of a sudden the light had come on. Maybe you were in that darkness and your mind was in that state of disorder and darkness and without form and void. But you come to church on a Sabbath day and you heard that Bible Baptist hellfire brimstone preacher. Amen! That began to tell you about God's love and begin to tell you about God's Son and begin to preach about heaven. And all of a sudden God said, let there be light! And there was light in your soul. God saw the light. It was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. There's a separation. When you get saved, there's going to be a separation of some things. Old things pass away. All things become new. Ain't that what it said? You can't live in that darkness continually. Wake up! Wake! Awake to righteousness. and sin not, is what Paul said in the book of Corinthians. We're not to live our lives in a state of darkness. Jesus warned against that. He said, if an eye be single, then thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy body is full of darkness, he said, how great is that darkness? Talk to a lost man hearing the message this morning, and you know God's Word is so relevant to the situation of your life at this very hour. You know that this isn't just something we make up. Are you in darkness this morning? Friend, are you lost? Are you undone spiritually towards God? Is your heart a spiritual wasteland? Know this. If God is not working on you now, I'd be concerned.
Amen.
If He'll ever work on you. How can you listen to Bible preaching and not be concerned about your eternal destiny? How can you come to a church and hear such preaching and not be concerned about dying and going to hell?
Amen.
Right. How can you be raised in the same way in which you are raised and not have a fear and terror of meeting God with blood of sin in your hands and not the blood of Christ in your heart?
Amen.
God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the morning and the evening. This was the first day. On the beginning, the first day, God brought in the light. Now, there's something else that God does. He doesn't just move on our hearts with His Holy Spirit. And it has to be the Holy Spirit. It cannot just be the emotion. The Holy Spirit has to convict you of sin and righteousness and of judgment. You can't be saved until the Holy Spirit convicts you. But I think your emotions will, in some form or fashion, get affected. Amen, Sister Judy? And so this was what God did on the first day. The Spirit moves on the heart. And God brings in the light. But that's not how God leaves the story. Because the Bible says the earth was without form. It had no shapes. It had no differentiation in it. It was just a wasteland of water. And it was dark. So God, first of all, He dealt with the darkness. He turned on the lights. He dealt with the darkness in our heart. He gave us Jesus. Now let's look at some more things. Verse 6. And God said, if God doesn't do it, none of us can. It doesn't matter what you say about it, what your mom or dad says about it. Excuse me, if they're buried in the church's graveyard, it doesn't matter what they say about it. What matters is what God says about it.
Amen.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
Right.
God said, let there be a firmament or an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So here, look up here. You have the earth with water. God says, I want to separate the water from the water. Not this way, but this way. Watch this now. A division. In verse 7, and God made the firmament or the expanse, and He divided the waters which were under, not beside, under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And He called the firmament heaven. Now in the Bible there are three heavens, and sometimes you've got to read it and study it to see which one is talking about. You have the sky. That's what that is right here. Where the clouds are. That's called heaven in this verse. We hear, oh, the heavens are beautiful. And the old poets used to say, the heavens are beautiful. The birds fill the heavens. That's one heaven. Heaven one. Heaven two is the stars and the planets in outer space. Sometimes that's referred to as heaven. But we know there's a third heaven. And that's paradise. That's where God's presence dwells in a unique, special sense. We'll talk about that as we continue to live our Christian lives and go to church. We're all going to go there one day. If you stay, you can't do anything about it. Your ticket has been punched, and your flight has been booked. God has inevitably strapped to your spirit rocket launchers, and one day we're going to shoot up out of this world, and we're going to be called into that heaven to city, and we'll dwell with God forever in that heaven. But God made this upper of the water was another heaven, which is the sky. And guess what's up there? Water. Now, I think there was a unique, at the original creation here, I think there was a different. There was a flood that would happen in chapter 6, and it come down from above, and it come up from beneath. So there must have been a unique expanse of water, which explains probably why people could live hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right.
Because there was this unique layer of water that blocked a lot of the undesirable sun rays from the body. Just a unique thought there, just to show you how wise our Creator God is.
Amen.
But be that as it is, we see that there was a separation of the water and there was another firmament created above. And I got to thinking on that, brother. You know what I got to thinking? That's like when we get saved, God lifts our conscience as it and out of the water of darkness, and He gets our minds on things above. When you get saved and the light comes on, the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart, and God says, "Will you take me as I am? I'll take you the way that you are if you'll take me the way that I am." And by faith, you reach out in just that little step of faith and say, "God, I believe in Jesus. I trust Him to be my Savior. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Help me to be the Christian you want me to be." Within a moment, we don't even understand how quickly it happens. You are instantaneously saved. Born in the blood of Jesus Christ. Instantaneously, you are justified in the sight of God and all the angels. Instantaneously, you are saved eternally from the wrath to come and from hell, which burneth in fire and brimstone. And where the Word dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In a moment, your soul is saved and you are lifted out of that darkness. You have a new conscience. You start thinking higher. You start thinking heavenly. Ain't that good? You used to not like the old church. But now you get your tie out. You used to not like going to church. Now you put your blush on and got your nice outfit going to church. You used to not like going around the church people. Now you got the Bible on your phone. You got your King James Bible. Praise God. Lord lifted you up out of that old dark water, that low life water that you was living in, and He raised you up out of that mess and gave you a new heart, amen. He gave you a new mind, amen. He gave you a new desire. When you were in the water, well, I hate that preacher. We ought to kill all the preachers. We ought to go join those political groups that want to get rid of all the preachers. To get quiet in here. But that's how they are. It won't be too long in preaching to you like this, Brother James, would be hate speech. Amen, that's right. We ain't going to get no votes on this. I'm going to preach it like it is, honey. You can either accept it or reject it. It's the Word of God. One day you're going to give an account before Almighty God. You better make sure you respect it and the Word of God. But the Bible teaches us that He has blessed us with a heavenly blessing. And He's raised our darkened minds upwards towards Him. We often refer to this as having a new nature. Yeah, that old sin nature is still down below. But we also have a new nature. And there's a separation. Thank God for that. And who did that? I didn't do that. Did you do that when you got saved? Did you say, "Hey, God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this"? And God said, "Let there be a firmament." And bam, it happened. Now look over here. And this was the second day. That's when God did the second day. The firmament. In the third day, the Lord divided the waters under the heaven and gathered in one place. I'm going to read quickly because it'll follow along. And the dry land appeared. So now we're starting to see land, day three. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters He called the sea. So when the land came up, guess what? There was mountains, and there was hills, and valleys, and praise God, here the earth took the shape that we see it today. And so, minus great earthquakes and things that may have caused or separated since then, but as far as the main landscape of the earth, this is where it happened. When God said, come up out of the ground, the mountains, they come forth out of the ground, out of the water. And then when that happened, when the land comes up, guess what happens? All those waters then form into oceans, seas, just like it says right here. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Now, all of this, again, God dealt with the darkness first when He brought in the light. Now God is dealing with the earth being without form. He's giving form to this thing, making land to occur. And now we're going to start seeing God deal with this matter of fullness, the void issue. It's just empty. There's no bursting. The sun has not yet been called into place. The stars maybe have not yet been cast into position. Things that made the thing so beautiful and appealing and aesthetically beautiful to the eyes of God, none of that was there yet. And it's just like when you get saved. You're not all that wonderful yet. But as God's graces begin to work in your life, and you're that issue of being void, all of a sudden the Lord starts adding a few birds. All of a sudden the Lord makes grass to begin to grow. And then you're going to see a little further the many things that God's. Those are God's graces that He puts in our lives to bring that beauty of Christ out of us. He makes the grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit yielding fruit after His kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after His kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after His kind, and God said that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the third day. So here's land and grass and trees and fruits and things God made on this day, day three. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So here's the light of in the space that we see. And He let them be in the heaven and gave light. And it was verse 16. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made those stars also. And God set them in the first heaven. There's that second heaven, the outer space heaven, different than the one that was mentioned earlier we had talked about. This is the outer space heaven to give light upon the earth. And to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So here God's dealing with outer space on day four. Verse 20, if you're there, say amen. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which so I said God made every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, fish, whales, birds, and creatures of the earth. Fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. In the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man. And he does that. And then God rests on the Sabbath. You know what happens when you get saved? Listen carefully. Number one, you realize you were created. You don't run the show.
Right.
You are going to give an account to what you've done with Jesus. You're going to give an account. Did you accept Him in your life, trust Him, and believe on Him? Did you listen to the gospel of Christ? Did you trust in your own things, in your own ways? Did you neglect so great a salvation? You are created. He is the Creator. In Romans chapter 1, don't turn there, but we see something totally different than what we see in Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, we see that God is the Creator who made man in His image. When you turn the Bible in the New Testament to Romans chapter 1, we see what we have going on today. Man is creating God after man's image. God is the Creator, not man. We have to give an account of our lives to God. And unfortunately, the second point I'm making to you in so many words is the condition of your heart right now is very, very bad. In fact, it's so bad if you don't get saved, you're in big, big trouble. Eternal trouble. And I think I've made that very clear throughout the message. Jesus did not come to call the righteous. I'll quote Jesus for you just so there's no misunderstanding. I did not come to call the righteous, He said, but sinners. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Jesus did not come to heal spiritually people that are already fine and well. He came to fix those who are sick. And that's us, sinful as we are, without form of our heart. Third thing, God is working on your heart to get you to be saved. The conviction that you feel, the thoughts that you think, the mindset that you have, is God at work? The fact that you're in church this morning, is God working? Is He moving? Is the Spirit of God moving? Are the waters getting stirred and moved today? Thank God. He don't even have to bother. But He does. He takes an interest in what He's created. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. You see, the next big thing is God turns on the lights. And that light is Jesus. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That Jesus was brought into this world according to the Scriptures. That He lived a sinless life. That He died on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. That He was buried. And the third day He rose again to give us life and life more abundantly. That's the gospel message, my friend. God turning on the light. And if He's turning on the light, then that means that you must be receiving that light. Now, when you get saved, and I think this is the real big thing about conversion. You use that word, conversion. I used to not like that word, but the older I've gotten, I kind of go back to that word. I'm not sure if it's even in the Bible. I have to read. I think it's a pretty cool word. We also say, well, I converted to Catholic or I converted to Baptist. We kind of use it in ways that we joke about. Well, I was a Baptist, but you wouldn't believe it. He married a Catholic. They went Catholic. He converted. That's how I've always heard it. I guess that's why I don't like it, the word. But now I've gotten older, I kind of like the word conversion. It has to do with the change that God does in your life when you get saved. Doesn't this passage of Scripture illustrate that for us so beautifully? I mean, isn't that just so cool, Brother Kevin? How we can see how God converts a man, He changes him, He makes him a new creature, He works on his dark heart, and He continues to move the soul and the mind into a godly way, and He turns the light on, and the man gets to the where he believes it, and then there is a separation. There is a new nature that comes out of that darkness. By the grace of God, he repents of his sin, and he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a new creation that is made. The heavens and the earth are separated, and there is a higher heaven, a new firmament, a conscience that is a Godward conscience versus the lower firmament. When that happens, my friend, I believe you got born again. And that happens in an instant. We may not always see it. We may view it like this. Well, I know on this day, the light came on. But I can tell you for sure, on this next day, or such and such a time later, I believe my conscience started dwelling on higher things, and I can see that now as I look back. We sometimes don't always see how the process of sanctification works in our lives, but as we look backwards in time, we can see the changes that God has made as we've grown day by day. And then God creates the land, the fish, the grass, the trees, the things that we love about Kentucky, the things that we love about the mountains, the things that we love, hallelujah, thank God, praise Jesus, about the beach, amen, sister Angie, things that we love about the sand, and the enjoyment that we get out of creation. That's the fullness that we just read quickly towards the end of the chapter. Right now, you may be feeling like you're on stage day three or whatever it was. Man, you got saved. You got that new conscience towards God. You have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. You're a new creation. And you still feel kind of void. Well, God didn't do it all in one day. Salvation, when you get saved, you get the whole package. But that package opens up a little bit at a time. Amen? That joy that you need in your life and that peace that you need in your life, it's like those fish that swim in your sea. It's like those mountains that grow up. It's like that grass. Maybe your heart doesn't have all that soft green grass that you're longing for. Well, just give God time to continue to work on your heart. Amen? It'll grow. Amen? Well, you don't see all the sun is... The sun is no steam like, well, just give God time. He ain't gotten there yet with you. You be faithful and keep coming to church. Keep growing in your Christian life. And those little fish will start to grow out of there. Or not grow, we don't believe in evolution, amen. God will make those little fish to get in there, and then they start reproducing after they're caught. People ask that question, what did God make first, the chicken or the egg? Oh, man, God bless you. I'm so glad you answered that. I was so scared somebody would say egg right there. There was a moment where I paused and I thought, Lord, please. And y'all started saying chicken. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Could have God made dinosaurs? Yeah, He could have. We have legitimate fossils of certain prehistoric creatures. Well, how did they get here? Is evolution God? Is evolution God to you? Matthew, evolution is not real. God is real. Last time I checked, I didn't see any other man walking around with a monkey tail hanging around his britches. Ain't that something there? You ever thought about that? Ain't that just dumb? I evolved from a monkey. Now, I met some people I thought were half monkeys. But, amen. But I never met a man that had a tail. Have you? Ain't that weird? But yet we come from monkeys. We evolved. Well, how come we're not evolving anymore? Right. Some of this is just so dumb. And you know what? If I went into a public school and said that, that'd be hate speech. But they can go to school and tell them, Bible? Nope. Oh, you can't hear the gospel. You need to learn about God creating everything. But you won't hear it from me.
Amen.
That's just how I'm wired. I love God. I'm not ashamed of God. God's the best thing that's ever happened to this old boy. And I'm glad I got a church that'll back it. Amen. And say amen to it. And support it. Praise God. Have you been saved, my dear friend? Do you know that in your heart you've been saved? I ask Sister Andrew if she'll come at this time. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. I'm done preaching. We'll get into our...